Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In a time when most authors are writing about the end of the world, zombies and vampires, Sarah Dessen has remained true to her roots, and with wild success. For almost two decades, Dessen has delighted young adult readers with her stories of friendship, love, family, and growing up. Her newest novel, The Moon and More, is no exception. We're brought back to Colby, North Carolina, where we explore what constitutes as a family and the fine balance between locals and vacationers.
Well, I just feel like I write, you know, to my strengths and what I know. And I'm honestly, as much as I think that there's so many great dystopian and before that vampire and zombie books, that's just not the kind of thing that I read, really. So I think as a writer, you tend to write what you know and what you love. And I've always been a realistic fiction person, and it's been a pretty lonely place to be for the last, you know, 5 years or so, because there haven't, everything has been so much about fantasy and now dystopian. But I think it's coming back around. I think I'm always hopeful every time, right before a book comes out, that there are still girls out there that want to read stories about real people in contemporary settings. And I think they're there because I think we're making a comeback here. So I'm excited.
I'd have to agree. I feel that there are more authors out there. I mean, of course, we always had our Judy Blooms, but then you see John Green and Jay Asher kind of coming through and helping to solidify your genres.
Yeah, I think John Green has been huge this year. You know, I mean, The Fault in Our Stars has been out for, what, a year and a half now, and it's still selling like crazy. And I think it was sort of a watershed moment when that book came out and did so well and crossed over also into an adult readership, that people realized that there is more going on in YA than just The Hunger Games and just Twilight. And I'm just really excited, and I think it is going to mean like an upswell in even more good contemporary fiction being written.
Absolutely. Now, this book, The Moon and More, just like your others, you have a very homecoming feeling every time we open up one of your books, and the characters and how real they are. And everybody has their faults, but it's human.
I was not very happy in high school. And I think that the ultimate irony to me is that I'm writing about high school when all I wanted to do was forget all about it, like the minute that I graduated. I was the last person that wanted to think about high school ever again. But I think I had a lot to work through, and I think that there's so much there, because adolescence is this time when everything is coming at you all at once. You have all these new experiences, and you're trying, and everything is happening for the first time. I've been saying recently that the closest thing that I've had since then is parenthood, when all of a sudden everything is really new, and all these experiences, you don't have anything that you can look back and be like, oh, well, I dealt with this before, because everything's happening for the first time. So it's a total learning curve experience. But I hope that people feel at home in the books. I think that, you know, the fact I sometimes bring characters and settings back, there is a sense of familiarity, but then there's also the hope that, you know, I am able to write something that's a little bit different, or that the characters aren't too similar to previous characters. I mean, you kind of want to have the books feel familiar, but at the same time, break a little bit of new ground.
You do break new ground. And what I very much enjoy about your books, and especially in this one, is how you look at what a family is. And Emmeline, our main character, she, for the first few years of her life, it was just she and her mother. But now she has a fabulous stepfather who she calls Dad. And I mean, he has been her dad for her entire
right.
life. And her stepsisters, which they're never called stepsisters, they're just her sisters.
Right.
And then trying to figure out, when her biological father comes back into the picture, of figuring out where he fits into her life and whether or not he really should.
Right, right. And I think that was one of the really challenging parts, is that I think in Emmeline's mind, she was doing just fine, you know, with her dad and her mom and her sisters. And then her father comes back and sort of wants to be back in her life. And it's a way of trying to figure out how that's all going to work out. And what is family? I mean, I think that these days, there's so many different definitions of families, whereas when I was growing up in the 70s, it was very much, I come from a very traditional family. My parents are still married. You know, they've been married for 40 years. But I'm very intrigued by the different ways that families have changed. And I had not really written about the estranged parent so much before. So I was really interested in that. And I was also interested in writing how different the father was from Emmeline's family. This idea of academia, I grew up with professors as parents. Both my parents are PhDs. And this idea, I mean, I went to a rural high school here in Chapel Hill where, on the one hand, I had people in my school who their parents were deans and their parents were provosts at UNC, and then there were people whose parents were farmers. And this idea of what happens after high school and what's expected of you, and whether it's good enough in someone's eyes as it is with Emmeline's father versus her parents.
It's an interesting dynamic, since they are in a beach town, of how the prejudices that are there between the locals and the vacationers, and how we're starting to see the lines blurred, and how Emmeline is just, I mean, it is a coming of age story where she says to her best friend Daisy, you know, what if we could just be a vacationer and just look at it and do the things that vacationers do and act like a vacationer instead of a local? And Daisy just looks at her like, we always mock them. What are you talking about?
Well, I think it's funny, like one of the titles that we considered for this book was Someone Else's Summer, because that's the way it always feels like when you're permanent in a vacation town, you're always sort of in the backdrop of other people's vacations. And I had written about Colby a couple of times before, but it's always been from the point of view of someone coming to Colby from out of town and having the summer that changes everything. So I was really intrigued to write about someone who was from Colby and what is it like to be part of all these other people's summer memories and feel like you're not changing, or, you know, everything is sort of staying the same where you are, even though the population is constantly shifting. I just loved that idea and the us and them mentality, because I think on the one hand, Emmeline's whole family relies on the tourists for business, you know, so they need the tourists. But at the same time, it's hard to not sort of feel like you're being invaded and that your town doesn't belong to you. So I love that dynamic as well.
Especially because their rental business, I mean, they are renting out houses that are thousands of dollars a week. And they're just thinking, Wow, who has the money just to do this for an entire summer?
Right, exactly. I know. And we go down to Emerald Isle, North Carolina, which is my Colby, I say, as I sort of base Colby on Emerald Isle. And my husband and I would drive around and look at these huge houses, just be like, wow. But then you see where the locals actually live. You know, none of them live on the beach. None of them live, I mean, maybe some do, but I talk to a lot of people. I talked to one of my babysitters, who's actually from the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and she said, oh, well, when I was growing up, of course, we didn't live on the beach. Well, hurricanes. Why would you do that? You know, there were all these pockets. So there's a whole side of these vacation towns that, as a visitor, you often don't even see, and that's the year-round population.
As well as that sense of community for the locals. I mean, one of the storylines in this book is a New York filmmaker comes because she is looking for this artist. And everyone's like, Clyde, really? What are you talking about? We've never heard anything like that about him. And they're very protective.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, if someone doesn't want to be found, no one's going to help other people find you. I mean, I think that the town sort of takes care of each other, which I think is a very small town thing. I mean, this obviously has a shifting population, and it's sort of the same for me in a lot of ways living in a college town, because the population shifts so much. There are those of us who are here year-round who grew up here, went to school here, and then there's this constant influx in the fall of all these extra people, and then they all go away in May. And it's that sense of, you know, who's left and the people that are left kind of coming together. And I think Colby is a perfect example of that, of sort of taking care of your own.
I also like the theme that's running through this of parents not wanting their children to make the same mistakes, but it's also trying to find a way to let them test out their own wings. And it's that really tough and horrible kind of balance that parents have to make while wanting to hold on so tight and then also let them go.
As I was writing this book, that was on my mind a lot as a mother. My daughter is going to start kindergarten in the fall. And this was a year of a lot of transitions for her, and she's just getting so grown up. And on the one hand, I just want to keep her with me all the time. But on the other hand, I know that I've got to let her be her own person, and I've got to let her fail a little. Like when they're babies and they're toddling across the floor and you can see they're about to fall, you grab them. But when they're getting older, you realize that they need to fall down a few times on their own to learn that they can get up, because you won't always be there to intervene every time. So I think it's definitely, I think with Emmeline's mom, since she was a teen mom and did the best that she could, and her number one thing is she just wants better for Emmeline than she had. But at the same time, I think the hard thing for her mom is that what's better is not at home. What's better is going to mean Emmeline leaving and going off into the world. And that's very hard, that the one thing that she really needs to do involves being away from her family.
And in a different way, it's the same thing for her biological father when he comes back in, is that he wants better for her. His reasoning is more selfish rather than actually trying to be there and to help Emmeline. So we see the two different approaches.
Exactly. Like, her mom, I think, is the one that has been in there and done all the hard work and the dirty work raising her. And then her father just sort of shows up right before college and is suddenly wanting to flip a bunch of switches and make everything better on paper so that he can say, oh, I have a daughter at Columbia, you know, without taking into account all these other factors that he hasn't even been a part of. It was a difficult thing to write about because I knew that there wasn't, and I didn't want to give it like a perfect happy resolution with Emmeline and her dad, because I think that that just would not have been genuine. I hope I'm not giving away too much here, but there is a relationship with her stepbrother, her half-brother, that I feel like is sort of the next best thing. And again, that idea of family, that family is so far-reaching, and maybe you can't have the perfect relationship with everyone in your family, but you are able to have these relationships with certain people that are enough. And so that was another thing I was really exploring as well.
I liked that relationship. Benji is 10 years old when he really starts to kind of glob on to Emmeline, and they really bond. And the scenes between the both of them, Benji is just this bright and really funny person. And he had a completely different upbringing than Emmeline has. And she just thinks to herself, man, that can't be fun having to do puzzles and games instead of just coloring.
Right, exactly. And also the fact that he's sort of at the age where his parents are getting ready to split up, and she came from a family where her mom was single, and she's sort of seen him getting ready to go through a lot of the things that she went through with not having her dad around when she was younger and stuff. So, but I just loved Benji. I think a lot of people keep saying to me, you know, are you going to keep writing young adult now that you're older, obviously, and are the characters going to grow up? And I think I just keep saying to people, they're probably just going to be more children in my books, because... because I have a child of my own and I'm around more kids now, it's like whatever I'm going through, there are definitely going to be more kids. And I just loved Benji as that character. I think he's sort of this goofy bit of id. He's just like wide open and so unable to kind of be anything other than exactly what he is. And I love that about him.
I do too. And I just feel like he and Emmeline are the same but different, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's very much... they're more alike than they realize. And I think that their relationship with the father is actually very similar as well. It's this kind of like, I want you to be perfect. Life isn't fun. Life shouldn't be fun all the time. And this kind of, they both have sort of the same reaction to him, which is like, oh, you know. But they're also both desperate for his approval and his love. So that's the tricky thing with parents. It's like, you realize when you become a parent yourself, the great responsibility of that is kids just really want you to approve of them, but they also need you to keep them in line. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And I think that's why I'm writing about it so much, is I'm still trying to figure it out every single day.
Well, it comes through wonderfully on the pages. The name of the book is The Moon and More. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Again, the name of Sarah Dessen's novel is The Moon and More. It is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.